Welcome again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Weasel and Chris here to bring you the action. Week 13. 13 is said to be an unlucky number, and for several teams during this week, it certainly was. Starting off with the NFC edition of this week's game, we'll start it right off with the Saints facing off against the Bengals. Chris.
Once again, miscues have cost the Bengals a win as they drop their ninth straight game to the Saints, 34-30. Saints are 9-3, Bengals are 2-10. Drew Brees is 24-29, 83%. 83%.
That's a big deal.
Good. Yeah.
I think he's had another 80% game this year as well. But
and there's actually another quarterback that won 80% as well. We'll get to later on in the game.
Ooh, teaser.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Through 313 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked twice. For the Bengals, Carson Palmer, 23-33. 70%, 249 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, no fumbles, and he was sacked 3 times. On the ground, Chris Ivory, 15 for 117, 7.8 average, 2 touchdowns. But wait, he had a long of 55, but that's still a 4.4 average on the day.
Yeah, that's a big deal when you take a long run like that out and he's still over 4 yards. I definitely had that in my notes as well.
And Reggie Bush had 5 for 26, 5.2 average.
Most importantly, fumbles?
No.
There you go.
And for the Bengals, Cedric Benson, 19 for 49, 2.6, 2 touchdowns. And Bernard Scott, 6 for 43, 7.2 average. He did have a long 18, but still a 5-yard average.
Okay. Yeah, consistency in the ground game for both teams. Both running defenses have looked spotty at best throughout the entire year anyway.
And I misspelled the Saints on my paper here, but... And also Robert Beachum was 3 for 106 with a touchdown. Jimmy Graham, 3 for 72. Marquise Colston, 3 for 65 with a touchdown. Lance Moore, 3 for 36. And Jeremy Shockey, 2 for 28.
Wait a minute. Cocky Jeremy Shockey. Okay, there we go. I got that out of my system.
Okay. Better now?
Yeah, but I feel great. In addition to the beer in my head.
You'll like this one, though. The Bengals, Chad Johnson, 5 for 96. T.O., 6 for 47 with a touchdown. Jermaine Grisham, 3 for 43. Jordan Shipley, 4 for 25. And fullback Brian Leonard, 3 for 24. For the game, time possession. Actually, Cincinnati had the ball 5 more minutes than the Saints. The Saints had 1 turnover, Cincinnati, none. Yards is the big difference, though. Saints 436 to the Bengals 311. Third down, the Saints were 1 for 8. The Bengals were 5 for 14. But then another key, red zone.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals were 3 for 6, 50%. And the Saints were 2 for 3.
That's good that you got the red zone percentage out of there. Since I've been doing this for 5 years on a podcast, there's something else that I'd add into this too, and it's the same reason why last year the 49ers lost to the Vikings. The Saints gave up, I think it was, at least four plays of 40 yards or more. I thought I wrote it down. Yeah, 4 plays of 40 yards or more. You got Meacham himself, as you cited, averaging over 30 yards a pass. That, to me, was the difference in the whole game, if you look at just the stats.
All right. But also, with the Bengals, we're up 30-27 with less than a minute to go. Saints were facing a 4th-and-2 inside the 10.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do? You do a dummy play. Just shift formations all around. Just try to get them jumped outside.
Well, if any situation where it's 4th-and-short yards and I'm a D-tackle, I'm watching the ball a hawk.
Well, still, if you're playing D-tackle, you should not jump off sides because you're right there in front of the ball.
Ever!
Well... I guess the defensive tackle, Pat Sims, didn't get that memo. But he jumped off sides, which gave the Saints a first down. One play later, Brees hit Marquise Colston for a game winner with 30 seconds left.
And on top of that, he still hasn't put a single cover sheet on his damn TPS report.
But he still didn't get the memo.
Yeah, right. We'll email it to him later. So, speaking of teams who didn't get the memo, apparently the Skins didn't get a memo that there was a game this past Sunday that they were participating in, and they were playing off against the Giants. Chris, go homer on us.
All right. With the high winds and cold air, the G-men took to the ground by rushing for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns en route to a 31-7 win over division rival the Redskins. Giants improved to 8-4. Skins are 5-7. For the Skins, Donovan McNabb, 26-44, 59%, 296 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, lost a fumble, and he also had was sacked four times. Eli Manning, 15-25, 60%, 161 yards, zero touchdowns, one INT, no fumbles, he was not sacked. This is the fifth straight game that he was without a sack.
Oh, wow, that's, okay, no, that's something I never picked up myself. That's very interesting. Okay, that's
a
big deal.
And also that INT was in the red zone from the four-yard line. In the first half. Halftime, it was 21-0, and it could have been easily 28-0 with that Manning interception.
Oh, darn.
Right. But for the ground, on the Skins, James Davis, 9 for 40, 4.4 average. He did have a long of 14, which brings it to 3.25. Keelan Williams, 5 for 29, 5.8. He did have a fumble. He had a long of 20 as well, so that means he had 4 carries for 9 yards, which is 2.25 a carry.
Not as good, no.
Brandon Jacobs, 8 for 103, 12.9 average, 2 touchdowns. He did have a long of 39, so take the 39 out.
Let's do that, yes.
He still has a 9.1 average.
Kind of a big deal, that.
Yeah. Ahmad Bradshaw was 25 and 97, 3.8, with 2 touchdowns. But he had a long of 15, but still a 3.4. Through the air, Anthony Armstrong had 6 catches, 97 yards, 1 touchdown, and he also had a fumble. Chris Cooley, 6 for 61, and a fumble. Seems like everyone's fumbling here.
The top?
James Davis, 3 for 41, and no fumbles. Hey!
All right! Looking up.
Riddell Williams, 3 for 27, and Santana Moss, 2 for 27. And for the Giants, Derek Hagan, 7 for 65. I say Mario, you might say Mario Manningham.
Who says Mario?
You're
really?
Pretty on the news there on the.
Well, they're drenched
sports.
In fail.
Yeah, Mario.
Is it Super Mario Brothers? No, I don't think so.
2 for 36, Kevin Boss, 2 for 28, and Bear Pasco, 2 for 21. Turnovers is the big difference in this game. 6 for
wait,
the
how
Skins.
Can that be possible? There were no fumbles in. Oh, wait.
6 turnovers to the Skins, 1 for the Giants. Time of possession, 34 for the Giants, 25 for the Skins. Third down, the Giants were only 2 for 10.
Yeah.
So the Skins were 5 for 12.
So the Skins did win something. Third down percentage. Unfortunately, they lost everything
else.
They
won the turnovers. The most, right?
Wow. Well, speaking of things being the most impact was made on the Vikings all year. Even though they were playing a relatively easy team. Interesting concept this game. Weasel, tell us a little about it.
Favre was knocked out of the game after his first pass attempt, which was, not surprisingly, intercepted.
Phil?
Tavares Jackson was in for the rest of the game. No Favre, no problem. The Vikings, at home, defeated the Bills 38-14.
Now, be honest with me. You've been waiting all night to drop that no Favre, no problem.
Yeah.
Line. You should be. I'm just saying.
Were you jumping for joy when you got the song get hit from it? Holding on to the ball for 12 seconds?
Actually, he deserved it.
Yeah, well, that's for real. I was conflicted. He deserved it, but... Then it's T-Jack. I don't know.
Well, speaking of, Tavares Jackson was 15 of 22, 68%, 187 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 INTs. He had a rough start, with his first interception being returned 40 yards for a touchdown. He was sacked once. For the run game, Adrian Peterson, 16 rushes for 107 yards, 6.7 average, with 3 touchdowns. Rookie running back Toby Gerhart at 12 for 54, 4.5 average. Albert Young had 10 for 27, and Jackson had 2 scrambles for 22 yards.
Did you hear any reports of Adrian Peterson reporting a shoulder injury?
I didn't hear about the shoulder injury.
Oh, yeah, no, from carrying the entire team this game? See what I did there?
Every 5 touches for Peterson was a touchdown.
Yeah.
That sounds like every 5 touches, Adrian Peterson steals away 6 points. Where are your children tonight? I mean, it sounded like a public service announcement. I liked it.
For the receiving game, Sidney Rice. 5 catches for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of which was a 31-yard catch in the end zone, leaping over a defender. Ray Camarillo.
Dun, 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 dun.
At 2 for 27.
It's hard for me to get that excited for 2 catches for 27 frickin' yards.
It's Ray Camarillo, though.
Yeah, true.
Jim Kleinsaucer at 3 for 25. Tight end Vishante Shanko had 2 for 17. Bernard Berrien had a 14-yard reception. For the Bills, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 15-25, 60%, 158 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. He lost 2 fumbles and was sacked once. In the running game, Red Jackson, 11 rushes for 42 yards, 3.8 average. Rookie running back C.J. Spiller, 7-35, 5-yard average. Fitzpatrick had 4 scrambles for 5 yards. Receiving game, Lee Evans had 3 catches for 72 yards. Steven Johnson had 2 for 36. Rookie wide receiver David Nelson had 4 for 34 and a touchdown. Fullback Corey McIntyre had an 8-yard catch, but lost a fumble on it. In the special teams, Bills kick returner Leotis McKelvin lost a fumble deep in their own territory late in the first quarter that led to the Vikings' second touchdown.
So, yeah, bars out. Memo to Leslie Frazier. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 87 yards?
Yeah, 3, but yeah.
Three interceptions, thank you. Not a great game, sorry. That's been bugging me, and, you know, since I have the platform of my own show to correct things like that. He said, well, Tomorrow's had a great game. No.
Actually, I think the worst game Ryan Fitzpatrick has had this season.
Probably so. I'll be perfectly honest, although it is arguably about, you know, 6 games too late, the Vikings defense starting to get a little bit angry. But again, playing against, you know, the Bills, the Saints. With that, we head over to another pair of teams that are both not very good, just one has a good record. Chris, what do you got?
With the Lions using their third-string quarterback, the Bears still needed help from officials for the second time this year against the Bears, and some of the Lions' miscues to beat the Lions 24-4.
I want the record to show I had nothing to do with that, but it was still awesome.
The Bears are 9-3, still the most overrated team in the league, and the Lions are 2-10. Jay Cutler, 21-26, 81%. See, there's my other 80%.
There you go.
234 yards, 1 touchdown. He did lose a fumble, and he was sacked 4 times.
Oh, and about Jay Cutler, he now, with his 9 wins this season, he has guaranteed himself to have his first winning season of his NFL and college career.
Great. I'm glad he did it playing against your mom's state this year. I mean, I'm just saying, having to play the AFC, no, NFC West. What's the AFC division that the North plays?
East.
The East. So that's a game against the Bills to get in the bag. I'm just saying. So.
For the Lions, third stringer, Drew Stanton, 16-24, 67%, 178 yards, 1 touchdown, and he was sacked 2 times. In the running game, Matt Forte, 13-64, 4.9 average, 1 touchdown. He did have a long of 17, so it's still 3.9. Chester Taylor, 9-33 with a touchdown. Jay Cutler had 5 scrambles for 12 yards. Javon Best, 9-65, 7.2. He did have a long of 45, so brings it up 2.5.
Overrated.
Maurice Morris, 10-37, 3.7. And Drew Stanton had also 5 scrambles for 12 yards, and he also had a touchdown. It was off like a pump fake, and he just rolled out all over on there.
Roll out, yes.
For there, Earl Bennett led all receivers 7 catches for 104 yards. Matt Forte, 2-36. Johnny Knox! 3-34. Chester Taylor, 5-31. And Brandon Manumaliuna.
Probably one of the hardest names remaining in the NFL to say.
Had 2-23. One of them was for a touchdown.
See, I can do that so easily because I've literally been rehearsing it. I'm not even lying. Like, I said, oh crap, he got a touchdown. So I just started saying, Manumaliuna. Of course, then the wife walks in and wondering what the heck I'm doing.
It's like you're doing like Samoan little chant there.
Are you doing a rain dance? What's going on?
For the Lions, Calvin Johnson, 3-66 with a touchdown. Brandon Pettigrew, 5-36. John Best, 1-32. Dave Burleson, 3-27. And Tony Scheffler at 2-9. Chicago did win in the possession, in time of possession. They were 5-9 on third down, 55%. Lions were 6-14, 43%. Yards, they're both about even 311 to 302. Turnover, Chicago had the one turnover. Lions, nothing. First downs, 23, the Bears, 14 of the Lions. But in the fourth quarter, when the Lions were up 20-17, Cutler scrambled on a first and 10 for 8 yards when he got hit by defensive tackle Sue.
Oh, and Dominican Sue, that's right.
Yeah. He got hit in the back and was penalized for unnecessary roughness when he was kind of pushing them out of bounds. They thought it was like an elbow to the head.
So this forearm that everybody's been dancing about, you're saying it's as a result of a push in the back?
Well, it was his arm was already extended. I don't know how it was a push in the back.
Right, but well, no, like, Sue, you said that Sue was pushed in the back?
No.
He
pushed Cutler in the back.
Okay, got it.
Which they called unnecessary roughness and gave the Bears a first down, first and goal at 7.
Wow.
It would have been second and two. It would have been second and two, you know, from the 14.
Well, that has...
But, you know, but still, they're up, the Bears are up 20-17. You get that call,
Bears
whichever
down.
Ones...
They were down.
Or they were down, the Bears were down, sorry.
Yeah.
The Lions were up 20-17.
Okay.
You get that call right there, and it would be second and two. He's running for his life because everyone's covered.
Oh God.
Right.
Kind of,
and, you know, second and two, they might have, you know... You never know, they could have scored anyway, but still.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. You're more familiar with blow the whistle! My
yeah.
bad.
You know, and so the very first play, that's when Cutler hit Brandon Mannemaluna for a touchdown to go up 24-17. And then also the Lions had some miscues on Cutler's fumble. They couldn't do anything. It was inside the red zone. They had to settle for a field goal.
That's 4 points off the board.
After that, they got the ball on the Bears' 41-yard line. And got sacked. They had to put the ball away. So.
Taking it out of field goal range.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like the miscues I was talking about, but also the help from actually Ed Hercules is the one that threw the
Hercules. I see what you did there. That's nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Hercules is the one that threw the flag on the Cutler.
Well, and we're gonna get into this more in the AFC edition of the episode, but I want the record to show right now the rule. The mandate from the league, according to ESPN, according to the mothership, as Dan Patrick says, is that if there's any doubt in matters of whether or not it is an excessive contact or an illegal contact or an unnecessary roughness call as such, if there's any doubt, the flag is to be thrown. Hockey League is doing as he's commanded in this case, which is why people, specifically Steeler fans, hint, hint, are getting genuinely ticked at the at the initiative involving a legal hit, but we'll get more into that in the next episode.
But I hate the shoulder pads.
This is
one of those ones that if it's in scrambling, Hockey League shouldn't be making that call anyway. It's not even he's supposed to be in the backfield.
The line
if he's already 8
that.
Yards up, he
right.
should not be making that call.
Right. That's an excellent point as well that I didn't really think of. During my times playing semi-pro ball, I had a similar problem to this where I took both hands and hit a guy right in the shoulder. Like, I hit him on the number that displays on the shoulder of pretty much every uniform. Every football team uniform has a number on the front and back and two on the shoulders. I hit him right in the shoulder number, and I got called for a block in the back. It's a perspective thing, and with what you're talking about, hockey league being out of position, that's certainly a factor. But anyways, all that aside...
Bears are still overrated.
Which brings me to my next point. The next most overrated teams in the AFC played each other, and I refer to the Falcons facing off against the Bucks. Matt Ryan, I cannot call him Matty Ice this game because he went 18 for 36, 50% with 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, and also threw 2 INTs. If you throw 2 picks, you can't be referred to as Matty Ice. I'm sorry. It's just for this week. I'm not being genuinely bitter to him as a quarterback. It's just for this week.
Maybe he was cold.
Maybe
nice
he was
cold.
Really? Okay, the temperature's dropping, fine. But anyways, all that aside, in the air for the Bucks, Josh Freeman still having a good year, but not his best game, going 19 for 38, 50% as well, threw a touchdown and an INT. Also saw a touchdown throw by Ernest Graham. Maybe he should think about him as a backup quarterback because he certainly did more there than he has been running this season with a 2-yard pass or a touchdown. Michael the Burner turned to the top contributor on the ground for the Falcons, going 24 for 88 yards, 3.67 a carry with a touchdown. For the Bucks, LeGarrette Blount, the fighter himself, had a touchdown on his day where he carried the ball 20 times for 103 yards, just over 5 yards a carry. Josh Freeman carried 4 times himself for 28 yards at about 7 yards a carry. His long was 17, which means he went 3 for 11. That's just under 4 yards. That's not terrible. Anyways, in the air, Roddy White had 7 catches for 74 yards. The perennial Pro Bowl tight end Tony Gonzalez had 3 catches for 38 yards. Ovi Mugele, probably the second hardest name to say next to Manu Maliuna, the fullback, had 3 catches for 32 yards and a touchdown, while Michael Jenkins had 3 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown of his own. For the Bucks, top 2 contributors in the air were Mike Williams, who had 6 catches for 68 yards, and Sammy Strotter had 6 catches, 48. Mike Williams did manage a touchdown. Also got the tight end John Gilmore with 2 catches for 6 yards and a touchdown. Looking over all the rest of the stats, nothing really stood out in terms of the Falcons necessarily being dominant. They did win 28-24, but the difference was the Falcons punted the ball away 1 time, the Bucks 7 times. There's your game difference right there. You had something else you were pointing to your notes?
No, that was just comparative.
Okay, cool. In that case, that will wrap up the NFC edition of the episode this week. Got through that pretty quick, so there's going to be a quick pop quiz. Oh, no! Wait, I didn't have time to study for the pop quiz!
Is it up a note?
It can be, actually. First of all, even though this is an AFC issue, I wanted to officially announce the that Josh McDaniel, the coach, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, had a tummy ache that he apparently isn't dealing with anymore, because according to the NFL.com site, he was relieved of his duties. Oh, no, wait. They're not talking about poo. They mean he got fired. Okay. Ooh. Never mind. Well, he might have been better off with a stomach ache. Anyways, so firing of Josh McDaniel. Anything. Chris, go.
I called it. I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year. I think it was earlier this year I called him that he was a moron, that he should be fired.
Suffice it to say, Chris, not shocked.
Yeah.
Weasel.
You know, it's happening sooner or later.
He did draft Tim Tebow in the first round, and they're in a relatively weak division, and they're not winning.
Not even relatively. That is a weak division, the second weakest in the NFL, right?
And their quarterback has how many yards passing this year?
Well, again, throwing over the Chargers defense twice a year, throwing over the Chiefs defense twice a year, throwing over the Raiders. Well, the Raiders, he's pretty good. But and they are playing the NFC West, I believe. Yes. Yes, they are. So that's another set of easy off defenses he's got to throw over. I mean, not to take anything away from Kyle Orton, but Weasel, you cited Tim Tebow. What do you think this will do for his future with McDaniels gone? Anything?
Well, of course he's got to play out in there. I mean, the next coach has to give him a chance. So.
So you're saying not yet?
No, yeah, of course
I agree.
Not.
That's yeah.
First round pick. He's a
totally.
Rookie too.
Keep him on the sideline.
Yeah.
Keep him on the sideline for one more year. So.
Moving the fullback. That's a thought. Also, since we mentioned the AFC West, even though this is the NFC show, since it's my show, I want to take a moment to celebrate that the Chargers lost to the Raiders. That made me smile, Philip the Fraud size. Anyways, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up on this very quick edition of the show. I guess it was due to certain blowouts by the Vikings and the Giants. Go ahead and check out the site at www.thestudentofthegame.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you're interested. Jump over to the site, leave a comment, perhaps subscribe, or you can follow us on Twitter, username the SOTG, or shoot us an email, thesotg@gmail.com. Until the AFC edition, we'll see you then.